I want to open up with a couple of scriptures really quick, just open up with a couple of scriptures, 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. This is just kind of a little bit of a beginning, something for us to think about, 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8. This is not our subject tonight, by the way. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That is something that I would personally say is so extremely true. When set aside, when set against what our flesh would seek for in this world, to have contentment in the Lord and to have godliness, or what Barney has been putting forth really excellently, is true worship in the Lord. To have that with contentment is a solid and the strongest thing on the planet. For we brought nothing into this world, and this should be something we should especially think about, I believe. And it is certain that we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be therein content. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. We all know this, for this is our hope. It's part of our tremendous calling. You know, but if you put this together with 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8, might be kind of a interesting little truth to set our hearts on. Since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection or your heart's view on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, who is our true life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also be manifested with him in glory. When he stands up and he finally begins his work as in his second advent, we will be, I believe, manifested with him in glory. The first resurrection, the first of those to see a resurrection and the glory of God, of the world to come. Israel saw a bit of these miracles of the world to come. We stand on a tremendous rock of faith. That's what we do. We don't need any outward signs and miracles. We know better than that. We have the complete Word of God, and we stand with a tremendous faith. And so if you have this tremendous faith, blessed are you, every one of you. I'd like to thank a saint out there, faithful saint, who sent me some really good information in the mail, and it was truly helpful in compiling this lesson, and it was really excellent information that I can add in our continuing lesson of the tabernacle, the sanctuary, and the temple. And that true faithful saint is, yes, one Miss Jan McWilliams. Thank you, Jan. All right, so we've been studying about the tabernacle. We've been studying specifically about the stones, the birth of the 12 sons of Jacob and their order. And then we looked at, we considered the stones on the shoulders of the high priest, the two onyx stones that had the names of the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel on them. We spoke about that. We can look back at that. I won't go over that right now. Then we looked at the order of the encampment of Israel, and we noticed that we talked about the direction of the east, and this is a chart you should have. You should have a chart of that. Winchester made a more detailed chart of that also. And then the 12 sons of Jacob and the foremen from which they came, you should have a chart of that. And eventually you'll have maybe a few more charts. And we noticed that in the east, which is the very important direction of God in His reckoning and His knowledge and His delight, we find that Judah, the tribe of Judah, was in first place in the east. We went over the fact of the matter that that Reuben, the firstborn son, because of some things that he did, lost his birthright. He lost the birthright of the kingly reign or leadership to the tribe of Judah, and he lost the double blessing to the tribe of Joseph. And so what I'm going to do tonight is what I call a needed sidebar. We're going to do a little bit of a sidebar here. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at these three tribes. We're going to look at the tribe of Reuben and understand why he lost his birthright and what happened eventually to his tribe. We're going to look at the tribe of Judah, and we're going to look at the tribe of Judah, and that he carried on the line of Christ, the bloodline of Christ, the kingship line. He was given the kingship line or the leadership line. We'll look at his tribe and how his tribe turned out as time went on, and then we're going to look at the tribe of Joseph and how he got the double blessing. And so what this sidebar is going to do, it's going to reinforce the facts of this encampment and why it is the way it was, why it is the way it was, and why Judah took the place of the first place in the tribe of Israel. And we're going to find out the scriptural reasons why that is. This sidebar is needed to show why Reuben lost his firstborn status, which then was given to the tribes of Judah and Joseph. So would you please open to Genesis 49? Okay? Genesis 49, and this is needed. Actually, I think this is needed to be done, because it'll give us knowledge of what was happening here. It'll give us a little bit of knowledge of the blessing of firstborn, and it'll give us understanding about maybe understanding about these stones, the stones on the breastplate of the high priest, and the blessings that went out from God Himself to these tribes and why. And so when we read Genesis 49, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read parts of Genesis 49 for time's sake. I'm going to be reading about these three tribes, Reuben, Judah, and Joseph. And so we're going to be reading Genesis 49, 1 through 4. Okay? And, this is interesting, in my opinion, very interesting information. And Jacob called his sons together, Jacob was Israel, and said, "Gather yourselves together that I might tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." And so what actually I believe that Jacob was doing is that he was giving prophecies about his son, about his sons, that is, about his 12 sons. "Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." Jacob was Israel. "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and excellency of power." Well, that sounds pretty great, but then he goes on to say, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou went up to thy father's bed, and defiledest thou it." He went up to my couch. And what happened with Reuben is, unfortunately, Reuben had indiscretions with, I believe it was the handmaid of Rachel, Bilhah. And because of this, fall to lust, Reuben really lost out. And this could be a real example a good example to us when we get tempted with the immediate, but then after the temptation of the immediate, we're faced with the living, with the permanent. I read that from a pastor or somebody of wisdom that said that we should avoid the temptation of falling to the immediate, because no doubt we're going to be answering with the permanent results, and that's what happened, unfortunately, to Reuben. If you go down to verse 8 of Genesis 49, it states, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies, thy father's children shall bow down to thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up, he stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Awesome, awesome prophecies. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Okay? That was Judah. That's a far cry, a little bit different prophecy than his unfortunate brother Reuben. And then if we go down to verse 22 through 27, we find Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bull, even a fruitful bull by a well, a bough, whose branches run over the wall, and archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him. But his bough abode in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, awesome, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound, of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. And so actually, these prophecies really tell a lot about these three men, and that's what we're going to get into tonight. And so the first one we look at is Reuben. And Reuben is... A title for Reuben could be Unstable as Water, is what we read. And if we turn back to Genesis 29, again, this is reinforcing the fact that Reuben lost his birthright and was replaced by Judah and Joseph. Genesis 29:29 through 32. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw Leah was hated, he opened up her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Rachel conceived and bare a son. Leah conceived and bare a son, and called his name Reuben. For she said, Surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again. Okay. And so we're going to stop there. Now, in the scriptures it said that it states Reuben was the firstborn son of Leah, and that apparently Jacob hated Leah. Well, the word hated doesn't mean hated. I looked it up in the Septuagint in the Greek. And what the Greek word is, misoumenes. And what it really means is to regard with less affection, to esteem less, or to love less, if that's possible. So I don't believe that the scriptures state that Jacob necessarily hated Leah. He just esteemed her with less affection than Rachel, and Rachel was he went gaga over Rachel, as I could put it that way. And Reuben literally means to look, or it means look a son, or an expanded version means God saw my need and provided me a son. And so let's turn to Deuteronomy 21. We're going to be, this is in regards to Reuben, Deuteronomy 21, 15 through 17. This is a little bit interesting. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, that's kind of interesting, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, or the less loved, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, this is interesting, this is talking just right about Leah right here, then it shall be, when he makes his sons to inherit that which he has, that he might not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. And so you almost have a law there given in Deuteronomy 21, that even though a man has a few wives in this time, that even though he favored the one that had the firstborn son, it doesn't matter. The inheritance goes to that son that was firstborn. And so I just wanted to read you if that in fact is a law about that. Somebody said, if he had seven children, he didn't hate her that much. Okay, well, that's a very, very good comment there, Michael S. 168. I like humor myself, but okay, let's go to 1 Chronicles 5. Okay, and this is going to show you about the act of Reuben, a proof of that. 1 Chronicles 5, 1 and 2. Now the son, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevails above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. And so you could say, well, what's going on here? Is there one birthright, or what's going on? Well, there's one birthright, but there apparently were two. There were two blessings that went with the birthright. One of the kingly line, being the king, being a ruler over the tribes of Israel, and one of double blessing. Whereas one of those sons would have a double blessing, and this went to two of the sons of Jacob, as we said, and to Joseph. And so I think we've made that clear. Their instability marked the history of the descendants of Reuben. Actually, if you study out the descendants of Reuben, you'll find that his numbers dwindled, and what came out of his loins produced nothing as far as greatness. Eventually, Moses even had to pray for the tribe of Reuben's existence. And we read something interesting. I'm going to connect number 16 with Jude 11. Did you ever read Jude? And it talks about the gainsaying of Kor. The gainsaying of Kor. Actually, that is... should be Korah, and I believe that Korah was a Levite, and so we're going to read Jude a few verses there, and it goes back to number 16, to the gainsaying of Korah, and actually the sons of Reuben, these two men called Dathan and Abiram, they went along with Korah, the Levite, and they rebelled against God himself through Moses and Aaron. They rebelled against the edicts of Moses and Aaron. And so that was interesting to me, the gainsaying of Korah. And so we're going to read a little bit about that, I hope you don't mind, in Numbers 16. And so what am I doing here? Is I'm showing briefly here two very wicked men that came from the tribe of Reuben, no less, okay? I mean, you could say, well, you're nitpicking, but hey, you know, they what they produced here, and we'll read a few verses in Job, was not a very light thing whatsoever to the Almighty. Number 16. I'll keep quiet and read. Okay, number 16. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to read, I'd like to read some verses, 33 of them. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and An, the son of Peleth, the son of Reuben, took men. Okay, so you have two Reubenites and a Levite. They rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy and one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then, lift up ye yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And so they were challenging the priesthood of Moses and Aaron. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake to Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he has chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Do take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord does choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near... He hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and ye seek the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that flows with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that flows with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of field and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou all thy company before the Lord, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you, his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, separate yourself from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, And the elders of Israel followed him, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touching nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out, and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder, and was under them, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Yes, swift and sure. And this was the punishment of those who would rebel against the holy edicts of the Lord, and who he chose to perform his righteous acts in the tabernacle. And then, interestingly enough, if we turn to Jude, and, I hope that wasn't, too much of a reading there, but I thought that that's interesting when we turn to the book of Jude, and we read about Korah again. Interesting. And so I would have to say that certainly, in my mind anyway, my feeble mind here, when I read this, I think this is some serious business. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Interesting. And the angels, boy, this is interesting. It goes on to talk about the angels that rebelled. I thought that was highly interesting. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, no less, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, did not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And so, I believe that the gainsaying of Korah and the deeds of Korah and Abiram are applied to this serious vengeance that is talked about to not only rebellious beings that defile the things of God and the truth, but those that fell in the beginning, the spiritual beings that fell with Satan. I thought that was very interesting. And I thought that it was interesting that these two wicked men, Dathan and Abiram, were from the tribe of Reuben. The tribe of Reuben did not produce one prophet, one important military leader, one judge, or any one person of great significance in the total history of Israel. The tribe of Reuben. The tribe of Judah is next, and we read about Judah Genesis 49. I won't go. I'm going to try to get through as much as I can of this. At least, hopefully, I can get through these three tribes. Judah literally means skiving, or even better yet, praise. And Judah's name actually means praise with honor, and actually the sacrifice of praise. That's what the name Judah means. Praise the Almighty with thanksgiving. There are four prophecies concerning Judah that were made by Jacob. Let's turn back to Genesis 49, 8 through 10. And so now we have Judah. We left kind of the sad condition of Reuben and his progeny. I'm sure not all of them were evil at all, but as far as his line and what his line did for the nation of Israel, it seems like his line went from the mountaintops just down to a deep valley, as far as what he could have been in the Lord, I suppose. What he could have been in the Lord. Genesis 49, talking about Judah now. Judah, the one that was chosen to be the kingship line in the nation of Israel after the fall of Reuben. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. And there are four prophecies concerning the tribe of Judah. Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah would be a leader of the other tribes and would be praised by them. That was the first prophecy spoken by Jacob here in Genesis 49, 8 through 10. Judah was a spokesman for the tribes when they confronted their brother, Joseph, in Egypt. Let's turn to Genesis 44. Judah was also the brother that actually saved the life of Joseph. When the brothers threw Joseph into the pit and wanted to kill him, it was Judah that spoke out and said that they should sell him instead. And so he was the leader, even in their heinous deed against their brother Joseph. He actually, in a roundabout sense, saved the life of Joseph. Genesis 44, 14 through 18. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house. This is in Egypt. For he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. Imagine Joseph. Imagine Joseph after all that had been done to him. And we're going to find out that, I believe, some so-called experts don't believe that Joseph was a type of Christ. I believe Joseph, no doubt, was a type of Christ. And after all that was done to him by his brothers, here they are, on bended knee, starving before him. Imagine that. Imagine that. And Joseph, verse 15, said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Know ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? So here's Judah speaking out again as spokesman. God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are the Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. As for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ear, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. And let me put a little bit of Mike's words after that. Thou art even as God on earth, because that's what Pharaoh was. That's the power he had. And Joseph became his right-hand man. Imagine that. Study the life of Joseph. Judah was the dominant tribe of Israel after the Babylonian captivity. And after the return of Israel to Jerusalem, the land was called Judea. Or another word is Jewry. Or a short form is Jew. It's a possibility that the word Jew came from the tribe of Judah and from a shortening of Judea. Judah would be a great conqueror. The lion, the king of the beast, is the greatest beast on earth. To expose your enemy's neck. That's what we read about. Let's go back to Genesis 49. So, what are we doing again? We're reading about these tribes, what was given to them, what happened to them, and this will help us understand when we study about these stones on the high priest, why these stones are where they are, and why the encampment is the way it is. And so let's go back. And it says in verse 8, thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies, thy father's children shall bow down to thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? To expose your enemy's neck in the day of Judah was a sign that your enemy was conquered. King David was the greatest conqueror in the history of Israel. David was of the tribe of Judah. The son of David, King Solomon, both of the tribe of Judah, King Solomon extended the borders of Israel to their greatest lengths in the history of Israel. And of course, the greatest conqueror in the history of spiritual and human life is from the tribe of Judah. Turn to Revelation 5. The greatest conqueror in the history of spiritual and human life is from the tribe of Judah. Revelation 5, 4 through 6. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood the Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. the greatest conqueror in the history of spiritual and human life, is and will be from the tribe of Judah, and in his second coming, the Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, from the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah would produce a sovereign line of kings. That's in Genesis 49:10. I won't read that. Interesting, Saul, talking about the kings of Israel, was the first king of Israel. And he was from the tribe of Benjamin. The problem was, and we could read that, we could read about that in 1 Samuel 8 and 1 Samuel 9. I won't read that. But it's the king that Israel chose. And I can just, when you read 1 Samuel 8 and 1 Samuel 9, you'll find that Israel, in their ignorance, were calling out to God for a king to rule over them. And at that particular time that they were doing so, he wanted them to acknowledge him as ruling over them. And so when they picked Saul to rule over them, the Lord was displeased with that, but he gave him Saul anyway. He let him have what they wanted anyway. We know that God rejected Saul, and through the prophet Samuel, anointed his choice, David, the true king from the tribe of Judah. All legitimate kings of Israel came from David and from the tribe of Judah. Moving on, we only have 13 minutes or so. The tribe of Judah would produce the Messiah. That's who is known as Shiloh in Genesis 49:10. Shiloh means to whom it belongs, or better yet, to whom the scepter belongs. Undoubtedly, Shiloh refers to the Messiah. And I had Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 to read, but I'll have you read that, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Moving on to the tribe of Joseph. Joseph is known as the faithful and fruitful one, according to Genesis 49:22-26. He was the one that had the second blessing. He was the son of Rachel, the one that Jacob was all head over heels about, but he didn't get her for another 7 years. The wife, Rachel, was the wife that Jacob greatly esteemed with affection, as opposed to Leah. You can read that in Genesis 30:22-24. Joseph in the Hebrew means, may Yahweh add. Also it means the doubler or the increaser. And you'll find that, I think you'll find that Rachel spoke out and said that the Lord added a son to her, that is Joseph. Joseph's life is a type of our Lord, is a type of our Lord's life. And I'm going to read a couple things here. Got a few minutes. You could think of us if you would. Joseph was the delight of his father. Our Lord was the Father's only begotten Son, in whom he was well pleased and utterly delighted in. Joseph was rejected by his very own brothers. Our Lord came unto his own, and they received him not. Joseph was in a real sense raised from the dead when he was thrown into that hole and left to die. And then he was eventually exalted as the son of Pharaoh, who was God on earth, little g, God. Our Lord was raised from the dead, and was exalted at the Father's right hand in the super heavenlies. Joseph resisted temptation to sin with a married woman and was falsely accused. Christ resisted the onslaught of the devil himself, Satan, and all of his temptations, even though he was drawn in the flesh and he knew no sin. Joseph mercifully forgave his brothers. Our Lord prayed that the Father would forgive those responsible for all of his suffering and for his very death. Joseph's strength was unwavering and was complete with faithfulness. It came from his knowledge and his trust in the one true God. The double portion given to Joseph produced two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so if we look at the camp, you know, if you look at the chart on the camp, if you have that, you should always have these charts before you. You'll notice that on the west end of the camp is Benjamin, but Joseph is not there, but his two sons are there, Manasseh and Ephraim. And so we found solid scriptural basis for that. The double portion was given to Joseph. He produced two tribes in Ephraim and Manasseh, whom from that point onward took his place in tribal Israel. We read of Jacob's own personal statement concerning this issue in Genesis 48:1-5. And that's what I'm going to end with, Genesis 48:1-5. And some of the scriptures I didn't read tonight for time's sake, but I think I kind of threw them out there. And there's much more to this study, no doubt, than what I've found. And then I would have to say that what I'm putting forth isn't locked in stone. It isn't directly from the Almighty, but I'm just trying to hash out maybe the truth of the tabernacle and the high priest and these stones and the reason why. And I think in going through this, man, I'm learning a lot of things that I never knew. And certainly it reinforces the Lord Jesus Christ. It reinforces my Lord in my mind and heart. And it reinforces who I am in Him and how great that is. You know, I think Ronnie was talking about all the things that Israel had to do in type in these sacrifices and such, and we don't have to do a thing but believe in the blood of Christ. And I'd have to say this, that Grace Music Band put up the definition of grace tonight and how beautiful it is, but it comes with responsibilities, as said, with responsibilities. And I will say this, I will say that the grace of God, it will come to an end. You know, I think that people live on this planet like God is going to be silent forever, but they're extremely mistaken, because when the Lord stands up and He's going to do His second work as the judge, this world is going to see judgment like they have never seen before. And that's coming. You know, that is coming. No matter how, what we think, how we feel, how comfortable we are, what people get away with on this planet, heavy, heavy judgment is coming. And so we won't be a part of that. We're chosen out of that. We're a heavenly people. And so, grace is awesome. More awesome than we might really, really know. Maybe I should say more awesome than I know, because I can only speak for myself. And we'll end with Genesis 48:1-5. just a reminder of the second of the double portion of Joseph. And Jacob recognizes this in the two sons of Joseph. And he takes the two sons of Joseph and includes them in the tribes of Israel. And so we should not be surprised to see that Joseph in the encampment is represented by his two sons. Genesis 48, 1 through 5. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph comes unto thee, and Israel strengthens himself, and he sat up. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful, and multiply thee. And I will make of thee a multitude of people, and I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, behold, I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. And Reuben, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And so Jacob is saying that as Reuben and Simeon are, so are Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, the one who inherited the double blessing. And so I pray that this was fruitful for you, and that, you know, maybe you enjoyed it, and it might have helped a little bit of understanding of where we're going in future, or studies I did, or in future studies. And I thank you very much for being here and listening, and loving the Lord.